Turn your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 28. We're going to be in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. Every day, a woman stood on her porch and shouted, "Praise the Lord." And every day, the atheist who lived next door yelled back, "There is no Lord." One day she prayed, "Lord, I'm hungry. Please send me groceries." The next morning she found a big bag of food on her stairs. "Praise the Lord," she shouted. "I told you there was no Lord," her neighbor said, jumping from behind a bush. "I'm the one who bought those groceries." "Praise the Lord," the woman said. "He not only sent me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them." That's bad, Harley. Amen. This morning we're going to continue our study in the power behind the evil. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 8. "They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas." Last week we began to dig deeper into this passage in Ezekiel chapter 28. And the first thing that we notice is how God was using the king of Tyre as a picture or as a symbol of Satan himself. God was talking about the king of Tyre in chapter 28, but he was talking directly to Satan. Talking about the king, but talking directly to Satan. God identified the evil, but he spoke directly to the power behind that evil. And that's our focus as we finish up our message today. If we want to win that spiritual battle over evil, it's important for us to understand the source of the evil, the power behind that evil. We are living in a dark and wicked world. Plain and simply, we are living in the devil's domain today. The Bible calls Satan the prince of this world. There is a kingdom of evil, and its king is Satan. The first thing we looked at this morning, or last week, was how Satan was created in perfection. Understand that God did not create the devil. God created Lucifer, who became the devil, and he was created in perfection. Looking at verse 11 in Ezekiel chapter 28. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God." Again, he's talking about the king of Tyre, but he's talking to Satan. Listen to what he says. "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." God is letting us know here that Satan was the masterpiece of all the angels that were created. He was surpassing in beauty and he was superlative in his wisdom. His name itself, Lucifer, means light bearer. He was the light bearer of heaven. Verse 14 tells us that he was the anointed cherub. There are different hierarchies of angels. The Bible talks about archangels, talk about seraphims and cherubims. And the cherubim, they were the highest class of angels created. And God said that Lucifer was the anointed cherub. That means he was the chief of the cherubs. He was the highest of the high of every angel ever created. God also tells us in verse 14 that he was on the holy mountain of God. This speaks of God's inner circle of his heavenly government. He was the highest ranking officer in God's heavenly court. The highest of the high in his inner circle. So God created Lucifer perfect in every way. Secondly, we saw that Satan, created perfect, he was corrupted in pride. Verse 15 says, "You were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor." So here's Lucifer, created with beauty and splendor equal to heaven itself. But he allows pride to creep in. He believed that he was too great, too good to be anything less than God himself. What letter is at the center of pride? I. If you read Isaiah chapter 14, you're going to see the fall of Satan. And there we see Satan declare, "I want to be like the Most High. I will ascend above the mountain of God." Satan had an I problem. Verse 16. He said, "By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within." Trade or merchandise, that's the thing that is passed from hand to hand, that which is passed from hand to hand. Satan was the merchant of God's praise in heaven. As the chief cherub, as the anointed cherub, Satan's job was to receive praise directed towards God, and then in turn pass that praise on to God. But over time, Satan enjoyed handling and holding on to that praise that was meant for God more than giving it to God. Pride began to enter his being. Satan, through his free will, chose to do evil. He chose to sin against holy God. Out of pride, Lucifer, the son of the morning, became the devil, the father of the night. We need to understand that he is a master of disguise. He is a master of deception. He is the great imitator. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen to the warning God gives us. Verse 13. "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, his minions, his demons also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So we need to understand that Satan does not look like the Hollywood version of Satan. He's not grotesque looking. He's not all red with pointed ears and a pointed tail. Satan wants to attract us. He wants to lure us in. He wants to deceive us into coming to him and not chase us away. That's what the Bible warns us here, that he appears as an angel of light. And he also warns us that he has ministers. His ministers of darkness are disguised as ministers of righteousness. They are standing in pulpits all around this entire globe. And we need to be aware of it, God tells us. There's too many motivational speakers in the pulpits today instead of truth seekers. Amen? Satan is grotesquely beautiful and hideously wise. He is cunning, and he is ruthless beyond imagination. This world is full of religious deception, and we need to be aware of it. Its source, its power, is Satan. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Holy Spirit expressly says that in the latter times..." That's where we are living today. There's no doubt we are living in the latter days. "In the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. God is warning us not to be deceived. We have to stay in His Word to know truth. So Satan was created in perfection. He was corrupted in pride. And thirdly, he continues with power. Look at verse 17, back in Ezekiel chapter 28. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. That's an important phrase for us to understand what God was talking about here. Cast you to the ground. God was referring to Satan being cast out of heaven. Where do we find ground? Right where we live. Amen. Satan was cast out of heaven and he was cast down to the earth. As soon as Satan began to stir up a rebellion, God cast him down off of his holy mountain down to this earth. In Luke chapter 10. Jesus sent out the 70 in the Gospel of Luke. And they returned. The 70 returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We need to understand that millenniums before Bethlehem, Jesus was in heaven. When Satan stirred up this rebellion, when God kicked him out of heaven, cast him down to the earth. Here's the important part that we need to remember. Satan lost his residence in heaven, but he still continues with power here on earth. We read through verses 16 and 17. And verse 18 says, you defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. I devoured you. I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. These verses outline the process of Satan's judgment. We need to understand that. But we need to understand also that the process is going to take thousands of years. Amen? This process has been an ongoing process for thousands of years, for several millennium. Today, Satan has been cast out of heaven, down to the earth, where he continues his evil ways with power. You ask, Pastor, why? Go ahead, ask. Glad you asked. God gave Adam dominion over this earth in the Garden of Eden. When God created Adam, he gave him dominion over his creation. When Satan was evicted from heaven, he was enraged, full of anger. So what does he do? Satan decides to deceive that weak little creature that God created in the garden called man. Once Adam gave in to sin, he lost his dominion over this world. Immediately, he became a slave to Satan, a slave to sin. When Adam sinned, he forfeited his dominion over the earth, and it became Satan's. That's how sin entered into the human race. That's how we became born sinners and slaves to Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Whose minds the God of this age, talking about Satan, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The God of this age has blinded this world. Ephesians 6:12. Very familiar with this passage. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 8. This is the account of when Jesus went out into the desert for 30 days. Again, the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan said to Jesus, "All these things I will give you if you just fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" The one thing you should take from Matthew chapter 4, from that account, when Satan took Jesus up on that pinnacle, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory, and he said, "Jesus, they can be yours if you just bow down and worship me." Nowhere will you find where Jesus disputed Satan for offering that claim, can you? Why? Because all the kingdoms of this world are rightfully his. They are legally his since he took them from Adam. Satan has set up a kingdom right here on earth, a kingdom of evil. All the violence, all the wickedness, all the innocent bloodshed that we see, he is the power behind all that evil. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Peter was given a sermon and he said, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil." 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul gives a personal testimony. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Oppression, depression, suppression. These are all the tools of Satan. Satan has ordered a reign of terror against every one of us. But praise God for his unconditional love. Amen. In our helpless and hopeless condition, again, we are born sinners. We are born slaves to Satan. Jesus said, "I love them too much to leave them that way." Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself," Jesus himself, "likewise shared in the same." He also became flesh and blood, "that through death he might destroy him," talking about the devil, "through death he might destroy the devil who had the power of death." Jesus came down from glory. He took on humanity. He took on flesh and blood and died. For what reason? To destroy Satan. Now we also need to understand in this verse that word "destroy" does not mean to obliterate. It means to make of no effect. Jesus on Calvary, bottom line, he defeated Satan in as much as he removed the authority that Satan had over those who choose to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. That's what Jesus came to do. What Satan legally took from Adam, Jesus legally took back from his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Amen. Colossians 2:15, one of my favorite passages. Listen to the theology here. Jesus, having disarmed the principalities and powers, again, those are Satan's principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. What is it? In his death, his burial, and praise God, his resurrection. Amen. Jesus put it all to no effect. Satan has been stripped of his power over the born-again believer because of Jesus Christ. Amen. In Jesus, we have victory over Satan. We have victory over his power, that power behind all the evil. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me. That's talking about Jesus' Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, talking about Satan. Amen. Lastly, Satan is consigned to the pit. Go back to Ezekiel 28. They shall throw you down into the pit. Verse 8. Skip down to verse 18. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. And I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the people are astonished at you. You have become a horror, and you shall be no more forever. God is letting us know that there is coming a day that all will look upon Satan and see him for the worm, for the deceiver, for the great imitator that he truly is. But you need to listen very carefully, because you have to choose very carefully. And the choice is, what will you do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Christ? Look, you can choose to ignore him if you want. It's your choice. God created us, just like Satan, with a free will to choose right from wrong. But just know that ignoring Jesus is your choice. And this choice will leave you as a slave to Satan and put you on that path to destruction, to be cast into that pit with him. It's your choice. We also need to understand that that's not God's desire for us. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Jesus talking about the end time judgment. Then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. But the last part is what we need to understand. That is prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was never created for you. It was never created for me. Hell was not created for us. It was created for Satan and his fallen angels, those angels he deceived and took with him, cast out of heaven with him down to this earth, his minions, his demons. That's who hell was created for. God's desire is not for any of us to perish. But if you choose to reject Jesus Christ, you're going to follow Satan right down to the pit. We need to understand that the war that we are in, it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against each other. As I said last week, it's not even against our mother-in-laws. Amen. It's against Satan's powers, his principalities, his minions of evil. And our only defense is the blood of Jesus Christ. Our victory is in him and in him alone. Amen. We have to understand that. Jesus came to pay our sin debt, to to destroy the power, the working of Satan over us, so that we are no longer slaves to him. We are set free. And to give us a home, an eternal home, with him in glory. But we also need to understand that he will never force himself upon you. God will call upon your heartstrings. His Holy Spirit will convict. But God will never force you unto himself. He has given you a choice, just like he did Satan. We have to choose wisely.